In the second session, we'll have a brief session here because I want to teach you how to share your testimony. Now, you may say, well, I've given my testimony before, but I bet you haven't given your testimony in the way we're going to talk about it. There's some unique things that will help us to be able to know how to be more effective to go from the frightened speaker, you know, to the interesting one. And one of them, your second time to speak, will actually be doing your personal testimony. Here, you are the expert. There's no real exegesis to do. Exegete yourself, you know? I mean, you're the one who's most knowledgeable of your life and how you came to know Christ. But I want you to do that, and then that'll set a foundation to going to your persuasion speech and then doing the actual preaching your sermons. Now, why do we do testimony? Well, this is easy. It's easy to talk about yourself, isn't it? Are you okay? Talk about yourself? Because you are an expert on that. You're the expert on yourself. I want you to start off talking about something that you really know something about. So instead of me giving you some abstract topic that you know nothing about and say, oh, okay, you're going to speak on this for 2 minutes, I'd rather that you start off something that you're comfortable with. You also will have the chance to share what you've learned. We all take taxis and buses and these sort of things. I have found many times that having my 2-minute testimony available, and I can share it, I've found that that's very helpful in evangelistic situations to talk to someone. People like to hear personal stories too. And it's very helpful for you to do, as 2 Peter says, always be prepared to give a defense of the hope that you have within you, especially in a story form. Your testimony should be a story, okay? Not principles, not a 3-point sermonette, you know? It should be just basically your story. It will help you to get to know God better because you're going to be thinking in terms of the central thing, the main thing that the Lord has done in your life. That's going to help you to see how God, or Jesus specifically, has impacted your life. So it helps you see what God has done as well as get to know Him better. And then these evangelism opportunities will come about because you'll be prepared. A lot of times we don't know what to say, and we don't have really that much time. Most of the time, a non-Christian is going to give you probably about 2 minutes, if that, to share about what God's done in your life. And it'll help others, it'll help you, helps others relate to you. Because my guess is that the things that you struggled with that brought you to Christ, those are the kinds of things that other people are struggling with as well. The other thing is, people cannot rebut your story. They can't say, oh, well, that's just your story, and all that. No, you're saying, this is what Jesus has done for me. And people aren't going to, except maybe in really rare quick cases, say, well, I don't think that was really Jesus, you know. And everybody seems to be on to this whole thing of story. Have you noticed? Everybody's talking about your story. So this is very much in line of where people are at today. So what I want you to do is to do the reading. It's about 4 pages of reading on how you actually do a testimony. This will be a bit different from the testimony you gave here when you came to the Bible college and you gave your testimony of your calling to SBC and that kind of thing. Share a little of your family background. This is more of a, I want you to give me a central idea in a flow here of what Christ has done in your life. It goes like this. After you do an introduction to your testimony, share your pre-conversion life. What were you thinking? Think about, wow, what were my perspectives back then? How'd those show up in terms of actions? And be concrete. Don't say, well, I was just kind of depressive before I was a Christian, and now I'm not so depressive. You know, Jesus really changed my life. That may be true, but it's not much to get a handle on for the person listening. Think of it from the standpoint of the person who's listening to you. Then share about how you actually came to Christ. That happened as a point in time, so share the event. Where were you? Were you kneeling at your bedside or your friend's bed? Were you at a concert? Were you at church? Were you at a youth camp? Share it in such a way that people can relate and tell us what you believed. I can't tell you how many testimonies I've heard where people say, well, then I went to this youth group and I became a Christian. I think I know what that means. But from the standpoint of a non-Christian, you have to put yourself in that person's place. I would guess most of them are saying, you became a Christian. Oh, okay, so that means you decided, you made a decision that you're going to start coming to church, right? Is that what you mean? And that may not be what you're saying at all. That's not the gospel. The gospel isn't that you made a decision sometime in the past to go to church. The gospel is, what is the gospel? Help me out here. What is the good news?
Jesus came
and did what?
Died on the cross.
Jesus died on the cross for you. Why? To bear your sin on him, yeah. And what resulted in all of that?
Eternal life.
Eternal life resulted for you. How about for Jesus? Anything happened 3 days later? Nobody ever really shared with me about the resurrection. When I was a young boy, and I just heard, Jesus died for you. And I thought, wow, that's strange. I grew up in a non-Christian home. And I saw little bumper stickers, Jesus died for you. Well, that was very confusing to me. Jesus died for me. Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. How could he die for me? So suppose that he did die for me, whatever that means. And then people said that I could have a personal relationship with him. I thought, no, I can't. He died 2,000 years ago. I can't have a personal relationship with Julius Caesar either. I can't have a personal relationship with Confucius. I mean, these were good guys and all that, but I can't really know them. So I had no idea about the resurrection. One day, somebody told me years later about the resurrection. And he said, oh, you know, Easter's about the resurrection. I said, really? When did they add that to the Easter Bunny story? I had never heard that Jesus rose from the dead. And I believe that we are living in more of a post-Christian world now than then. So you cannot just assume that, you know, you say, well, then I got converted or then I became a Christian. You cannot assume that people understand what you mean. You have to put it in very practical, easy to understand, simple terms. So that's what I want you to do for your testimony. And then tell what Jesus did after you trusted him. What did he do in your life? How was your thinking different? What were specific changes? I can tell you in my life, wow, my attitude toward my stepfather completely changed. I had a heart for him. You know, he was not very sensitive, but I began to understand because of his background, I needed to show care and show the love of Christ to him. That was a huge change in my life that lasted for decades and still does today, you know. Be concrete. Have you noticed? Be concrete, be concrete, be concrete. Get specifics for us. And the other thing is that we're going to do keep the same theme throughout. So whatever you say in your pre-conversion should relate to your post-conversion. If you said you had a problem in the pre-conversion, well, people are going to want to know that whole issue. You are really angry, huh? You're angry as a non-Christian. Well, tell us about now. Are you still a really angry person? If you say you're angry before you came to Christ, well, I hope you're going to be able to say, now Jesus has truly changed your life in regard to anger. Right? Let's do an example here. Here's my testimony, okay? Pre-conversion. If you've read those pages, you've read my testimony. My mentality was good works. I got to do enough good works to reach God. On the outside, people said, wow, Rick's a really confident guy. But that was just the outside. Inside, I was really quite insecure. I projected confidence, but inside I was going, boy, I don't think I'm going to be very acceptable to God. And then I was at a youth gathering, and I realized that whole perspective of God was completely wrong. I derived my theology of God like from Santa Claus, you know, keeping a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice, you know. And I realized that Jesus is God's gift. I never thought of salvation actually being a gift. I thought it was something that you earned. And so I stopped earning my salvation. I never could, actually. And as a result, because I wasn't trusting good works, I had peace with God, I had security, and God gave me a love for people that I didn't have prior to that time. So my theme is really security. I was insecure. I stopped learning, or I stopped trying to earn my salvation, and then God really gave me a sense of security as a result of it. So if I do that 2-minute sermon, I mean, it's 2-minute testimony, hopefully at the end of it, if I said, what was the theme? I hope you could say, ah, Jesus took an insecure boy and made him a secure boy. Something like that, you know? And I'll ask, at the end of each of you speaking, I'll ask the class, okay, what was her theme? What was his theme? What was he actually saying in one sentence? Kind of like I did about Isaiah 55. Can you sum it up in a sentence? You know? What has Jesus done in the speaker's life? So think in terms of that theme, and that'll help prepare you for what we're going to do in turning and going into actually preaching in the class. Okay, your thoughts about the testimony?
2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah, 2 to 3 minutes. And speakers 1 to 5 will give their testimony next week. So I would like you to work on your testimony today or tomorrow. Get it to me by Thursday, and then I can read it and I can hand it back to you. You guys have class on Thursday, right? So if I get everything graded by Thursday afternoon, is that good? The other thing, when I have all these constraints, I will often grade the assignments of the students that are living off campus first. Because I can get the assignments in the boxes of those that live on campus on Friday. So, which of you are living off campus? Okay. Wow. Okay. Everybody. Everybody, except for Natalie and Clevy. You two are the only ones that are living on...
Them.
What's that? You're with them?
She wants to move off campus.
You two are the only ones who live on campus?
Yeah.
And the other seven of you live off campus?
Yeah.
Okay. That means I'll give yours... I'll do yours probably last. Yeah, you guys will be last. Actually, the first shall be last. The first is Clevy, and the last is Natalie.
Wait, am I always first?
Yes.
No. And I'll explain about that when we get the next class period. Yes, listen. If you got converted at age 7, then you're 2 years of more a life of sin than my wife. Because she became a Christian at age 5. And she does struggle with testimony. But still think in terms of that. Or maybe you had a more of an aha moment that came later on. Maybe it's better for you to focus on that. That's even more difficult for my wife, because she never even had the aha moment. She trusted Christ at age 5, and she's just lived for the Lord her whole life and never fallen away. When I heard that about her, I said, I want to marry that lady. Amen. God gave me my desire. So... Yes.
In your notes, it talks about how you want to avoid saying negative things about the church. What is one reason you're staying away from Christ outside the church?
The idea of avoiding negative things about a certain church is identify that church. You can say that you were hurt by some people in a church. Just don't go, man, all those Baptists are just all this way, you know, or I don't know if you've had any Presbyterian experience, but those guys are just jerks, you know. If you're saying that kind of stuff, then what you're doing is you're just setting up all these barriers. So don't identify the group. That's really the point there. Good question. Any other questions about the testimony? I'll give you feedback. Let me tell you what the weakest point of all of our testimonies is. It's this one in terms of the conversion, or specifically, it is not telling us what the gospel is. That's the weak point for almost all testimonies. So let me highlight that. When I hear your testimony as a non-Christian, I should be able to know what I actually need to do to become a Christian. I can say, well, my background's not the same as yours, but I actually received the same Jesus. The same Jesus did the same things for me on the cross and rose again and offered to me a new life, an eternal life. So tell us the full gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. You know, he was raised on the third day. Paul says that is the gospel. So tell us what the gospel is as a part of your testimony. And then that would make your testimony much more clear for a non-Christian. On this one, you're actually talking to us as if we're non-Christians. Okay, I should say that as well. On your other speeches, your introduction, your persuasion, these are... The ones that are in blue here on slide 2 here, these are, you don't have to pretend we're someone else. But on the personal testimony, this one, I want you to talk to us as if we're non-Christians, to try to make that clear. Yes?
So the idea behind the personal testimony is that the person would then accept Christ as a result of it?
The goal is to make the gospel clear in your life so that, yeah, a person could say, I really need to give consideration to that. That same, you're not that same Jesus. It's not that you're going to end your personal testimony with an invitation to trust Christ, but you're saying, hey, here's something, you know, to really think about. If you're clear about it, you could, in an evangelistic opportunity, you could say, you ever really thought about this much? Well, that's my story, but how does it relate to your story? You know, what do you think? Have you really thought about Jesus much? And something like that, and it won't be so offensive. I find that a lot of people have religiosity, but they don't have a clear understanding of what the gospel is. Actually, I did this last year while my father was dying. His mother-in-law was sitting at the foot of his bed, and I started talking to her like this and started with my testimony. I could see that she didn't understand this stuff at all. You know, grew up as a Catholic and all that. And my father, my dad, was laying there. He died a few hours later. But I believe he could hear what was going on. He just couldn't respond, you know. And so here's this lady, 94 years old. She told me, she said, I have never heard this before. I have never heard that I can have a personal relationship with God. And there, right at the foot of my dad's bed, she trusted Christ. Last January. I found it so helpful to have prepared, you know, a testimony and being able to present it in a clear way. And I really want you to have that joy in doing that as well. Yeah.
In some cases, you have an initial knowledge of the gospel. So, like, it's not... You can explain the Trinity that way.
Right. Some people, but everybody has some level of understanding about Christianity.
And embrace. So, if that's not true of our experience, should we still preach the gospel in a way that you want us to preach? Like, you know, Christ died.
I think for you, ministering in the Philippines, I lived in the Philippines 2 years. I found that Filipinos are the most open people to the gospel of anybody I've ever met. And they have some basic understanding. But having a personal relationship and having eternal life, they couldn't catch that. So I tried to emphasize that, the assurance of salvation. And that made the message a lot more clear. So say it in the way that you would want to say it to a Filipino audience, if you want to do it that way. Is that what you're saying?
So we're going to slant it towards how we would...
Yeah, you could tell us right before you give your testimony. You know, I'm orienting this testimony more toward a Filipino audience who have a Catholic background. Something like that. If you say that, we'll go, oh, okay. I'll try to hear your testimony from that perspective. I want this to be really valuable for you, so that you learn what to say, and then you also become more comfortable about being up front and being succinct. 2 to 3 minutes, you'll find, goes by really fast. By the way, time yourself while you practice. And then get it so that you actually are able to say it in under 3 minutes.
Is it important to actually memorize word for word?
I don't think memorizing word for word is the point, but you do need to do it without notes. And you're actually going to have you're going to have five sections of your testimony. All right, I kind of covered it real fast before, but those five sections are on first presentation, slide 57. This is your speaker speaking grade sheet. And this will transition to what we're going to do in the next session. You'll do an introduction. The goal of your introduction is for people just kind of saying, ho-hum, you know. The idea is to get their attention on the subject that you're talking about. You will do a body of the message. What are you going to say? Two or three things maybe about the pre-conversion life and how that moved on into using four instances, using specifics of how you actually came to know Christ and specifics of how you that's not the one I'm looking for. Here it is right here. I should probably put this one. So you'll have five sections of your personal testimony. This is slide 53 on presentation one. So you give an introduction. You give a pre-conversion, conversion, post-conversion, and then you conclude. So I'm giving you the outline for your testimony, 5 points. Intro and conclusion, and then before, during, and after. In the middle is your body of the message. I think you guys will do great. You'll do great on this. Good questions, very good questions. Anything else? Okay, let's stop this session at this point. Hope I'm doing the...